WNBA on NBC. The 1998.
What NBA is up, everybody? Finals. This is Jim Mylock, and you're listening to Pot of Fame, the podcast where we break down former athletes and decide whether or not they should get a call to the Hall. On today's podcast, we're talking about former NFL wide receiver Dell Schaffner and whether or not he should be in the Football Hall of Fame. And for today's podcast, unfortunately, ladies and gentlemen, you just have me. No guests today. Now, there's two reasons why we have no guests today. One, I just haven't done an episode of my own in a very, very long time. When it comes to a Hall of Fame episode, so I've done specials on my own, but a Hall of Fame episode looking at one particular player, I haven't done an episode on my own since August of 2020. So it's been over a year, and I thought, hey, that could be fun. Number two, though, is probably the more important reason I'm doing it on my own. It's because I couldn't really find a guest to come on and discuss Dell Schaffner with me. And I don't, you know, that's not a crazy thing to say because I'm going to assume 95% of you have never heard of that player. And there's a few reasons why that is. And I'll get to that in just a second. But yeah, I couldn't find anyone to come on and talk about. Most people that I have on want to have at least at minimum seen the player play in person, if not know the player, whereas Dell Schaffner played from 1957 to 1967. So not only could I really not find anyone that covered him, I could barely even find people that remember seeing him as a child. So was unsuccessful for many months trying to get someone on. And I thought, hey, I want to do it on Dell. I believe he deserves this discussion of his Hall of Fame candidacy because I think he has a very good one. Let's just do it. So that's why we're doing it today without a guest. So you just have me today. Bear with me there. But Dell Schaffner played from 1957 to 1967, so a very long time ago, and had a very short career too, only 125 games played, and really only had five great seasons. They were excellent seasons, but other than that, he never had, outside these five great seasons, he never even had over 400 yards receiving in any of the other seasons. So he had five great seasons he can hang his hat on, and that is about it. But they were really great seasons. Not only did he make five Pro Bowls during his career, but he made five All-Pro first teams, which is extremely rare at the wide receiver position. Only three other wide receivers have made that many All-Pro teams or more during their career. He was also one of the game's first dangerous deep threats. Averaged 18.5 yards per catch for his entire career, still 20th all time. And had seasons where he had 21.4 yards per catch. That was in 1958. And he had a season in 1962 with 21.5 yards per catch. So he was like the Tyreek Hill of the late 50s and 60s. He was way downfield. Blazing speed. He was 6'3", 186, was getting behind defensive backs and burning them. And he was, again, one of the first great deep threats. He was also elected to the Hall of Fame All 1960s first team and led the league in receiving in 1958 with just 1,097 yards. And again, as I talk through all of his stats today, you just got to remember 50s and 60s was a different time before wide receivers became super kind of prominent and more of the more famous athletes out there, the more famous skill positions, those all running backs, wide receivers, and defense. Maybe why we kind of don't all know who Dell Schaffner is because wide receivers, again, weren't glamorized the way they are today. First career, he had 349 career catches, 6,740 yards receiving, and 51 touchdowns. He played in three straight NFL championship games, 61, 62, and 63, but they did not win any of those titles. This was, again, of course, before the Super Bowl. And just talking about how long ago Dell played, he was also a punter his first few years in the league. He averaged 42 yards per punt for his career with over 100 career punts and also played defensive back his first couple of years in the league, had three picks. So, again, we are talking about a different era here, so please keep that in consideration when I am rattling off all of these stats. Now, one quick thing I want to note before we get into the segments today. I have messed up now twice, back-to-back episodes, in something I failed to note during the, well, actually, last week's podcast, I failed to note something. This week's podcast, I said something that's actually not true. So let me clear that up. In a few parts of the podcast today, I will say that Dell Schaffner retired. When he retired, he had the most catches in NFL history and the most receiving yards in NFL history. And that was pulled from a source I had at one point. But honestly, while I was doing the podcast, I was naming off some people and I thought of something. I was like, wait, like that probably can't be true based on what I know about Don Hutson, who of those of you that really follow NFL history was the first great receiver playing the 30s and 40s for the Green Bay Packers. Honestly, just dominated the league like no one other than probably Jerry Rice has dominated in terms of how he did against his contemporaries. Led the league in receiving yards, catches, touchdowns, like over five times each category, I think. His career numbers don't look good compared to today's stars, but when he retired, he had the most catches, receiving yards, and receiving touchdowns. And that is true. Like Dell Schaffner did not pass him in any of those categories. And during the podcast, I say Dell Schaffner retired with the most catches and receiving yards, and that is not true. Don Hutson was going to be ahead of him there. So I apologize for completely forgetting about Don Hutson. Did I want to forget about a Green Bay Packer? Because when you're listening to this on Monday, the Packers probably trounced my Bears, and I don't want to give them any more love or any love at all, probably. Hopefully the Bears pull that out and then I'll feel better, but probably not. But Don Hutson, one of the all-time great wide receivers, of course, in the Hall of Fame, he held those records, not Dell Schaffner when Dell Schaffner retired. So I do mention that a couple times throughout. Dell Schaffner is very high at the list in terms of when he retired, how he ranked in catches, receiving yards, touchdowns, all that stuff. But Don Hutson blew him out of the water in all of those. And I just want to make sure that was cleared up. So that is my goof this week. Hopefully, God, I'm 2 weeks in a row now with a major goof there. Hopefully that's the last. I do that. Also hate I use the word goof. No idea where that's coming from. I blame the movie Palm Springs. Andy Samberg says, and it cracks me up, but that's besides the point. Guys, look at what goes when I'm on my own here. This is what happens. Let's get into today's podcast. Our first segment, of course, is What Comes to Mind. So what comes to mind when I think of Dell Schaffner? And again, I just learned who he was a few years ago, so bad on me if people that are Giants fans think I should know who he is or think it's crazy I didn't know who he was until a couple years ago. I promise you, not many people do. But the first thing that really comes to my mind in the years I've known him is just how flash of the pan he was. He played 125 games, and he played from 1957 to 1967. But he really, when you look at his numbers and you look at his career, he really had five great seasons over a six-year period, and then really nothing else. From 1958 to 1963, he was the best receiver in the game. He made five all-pro teams, again, in that six-year stretch there. He had 1 year in 1960. He kind of got injured, barely did anything. But all the years where he was playing the full season, the full slate, he was the best receiver, one of the top two receivers in the league, being an all-pro. And not too many players have had dominant stretches really like that in that short period of time. Then, you know, don't really do anything else outside of that. And I think that's a big reason why we forget him. It was, if you know, you weren't watching football from 58 to 63, you kind of missed his career, because after 63, even though he played till 67, he never had over 400 yards receiving after that. So it was really that six-year stretch where he dominated the league and then he was kind of out. And it reminds me of players like Terrell Davis, who had those, you know, several great years with Denver and got into the Hall of Fame. He only had 68 games. Gale Sayers is the biggest flash in the pan. He only played 68 career games in the NFL. Of course, we all think of him as an all-time great, and he's in the Hall of Fame. Kenny Easley was a great defensive back for the Seattle. He got in the Hall of Fame with only 89 games. Ernie Nevers in the Hall of Fame. I think he has under 60 games played. So these flash in the pan guys that come in, dominate, and then leave, most of the flash in the pan guys that were like all-time greats are in the Hall of Fame today. Obviously, we're talking about Dell today. He's not. But I think of that. He He dominated for a 6-year stretch. He had 5 of the best seasons of a wide receiver until that point in NFL history. And then he was kind of done. Injuries, whatever. He was out of the league by 33. But he really had his last great season at 29 with the Giants. Him and Y.A. Tittle, Hall of Fame quarterback, from 61 to 63, just tore up the league. And, you know, he averaged 21.4 yards per catch in 1962, 53 catches for 1,133 yards and 12 touchdowns. That's a hell of a season back then. Again, you got to remember back then, too. I think when he started playing his career, there was only 12 games per season. Then later in his career, there was 14 games per season, but he only played 125 career games, only started 104 games, flash in the pan type guy, which is why his career numbers don't look that great when you compare him to wide receivers all time. And then it gets compounded by the fact he played in the 50s and 60s before people started throwing all the time. But when I think of him, I think of a short flash in the pan career that probably, you know, a few more seasons playing at that level, or even a few more seasons where he had subpar years, he'd probably be in the Hall. He really just flamed out running back style here. After those 6 seasons, he was pretty much done. For running backs, that's usually okay when it comes to the Hall of Fame. For wide receivers, you like to see a little more. However, Calvin Johnson, who's someone I want to talk about a little later, he kind of not as big a flash and pan. He kind of dominated his whole career, but it was a very short career, and he got in the Hall of Fame his first year. Just wanted to throw that out there, but that's what comes to mind when I think of Dell Schaffner. Now let's head to our next segment, That Memorable Moment. So I'm just going to call this out real quick. It's a lot easier to transition when I'm on my own. I forgot how easy that is now. But anyway, for That Memorable Moment, for those of you who have never listened before, of course, this is when we talk about what is that player, whoever we're talking about that day, what's that player's most significant moment of their career? What would their highlight reel contain clips from? It could be a single game. It could be a play. It could be a season, playoff performance, whatever. For Dell Schaffner, he played in 3 NFL championship games in a row, which this was pre-Super Bowl. That's how old this guy is. But he didn't really have great performances in those championship games. So I don't really pull that as a memorable moment. What I pull out is a specific game, October 28th, 1962. The Giants beat Washington 49-34. Dell has 11 catches for 269 yards and a touchdown. It was the 3rd most ever receiving yards in NFL history at the time, which I think is very significant. I'm surprised it actually wasn't the highest total at that point, because if you look at his season totals, that's almost a 1/4 of his season in one game, if not more. But that's still good for 14th most in a single game as of today. And with how we throw the ball today, that's kind of quite surprising. But like a lot of things in Dell Schaffner's career, he was overshadowed, or I guess not overshadowed, but in his career, right, we kind of forget who he is. In this game, you probably, if you pulled up that game, and you're like, what happened that game? You probably don't even look at Dell Schaffner first. You look at his teammate, Y.A. Tittle, again, Giants quarterback who's in the Hall of Fame. In that game, he had 505 passing yards and 7 touchdown passes, which is still a record today. I believe him and Sid Luckman are tied with 7. And did someone else, like Drew Brees or something, sneak in? I'm going to look that up while I continue here, because I think someone else snuck in. Wait, I'm just going to do it now. 1 second. So, yeah, it's Tittle, it's Luckman, and it's Peyton Manning. Okay, I knew someone recently did it. Peyton Manning. And then actually George Blanda did it too, and a guy named Joe Capp. Oh, Andrew Brees and Nick Foles. Wow, okay. So not as rare as it was. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. 8 people have done it now. So he's still tied for the record. Can't believe Nick Foles is on there. Hey. 3 former Bears on that list. Blanda, Luckman, Foles. Not bad, right? Bears quarterbacks. We're back. Anyway, Long story short, Tittle, I think, gets the headlines those days. Del Schaffner gets the shaft here, but 269 yards in a game on 11 catches. Third most of the time, 14 most of all time. So if you're looking at the record books, he's still going to be in that top 20 for most receiving yards in a game. And I think that is by far his most memorable moment. So shifting gears, let's head to that last mini segment here and Twins.
No! Quarterbacks eating dirt! Pom-poms and short skirts! Fans who won't quit! And those Twins!
All right, so for Twins, Del Schaffner is kind of easy here. There's three, because I don't have a guess. I can talk a little longer here. There's three players that Del Schaffner reminds me of. One, this is going to sound silly to some people if you go look at game footage of Schaffner, but bear with me. Calvin Johnson. I brought him up earlier. Of course, great wide receiver, one of the best wide receivers of the 21st century for the Lions. A physical freak, 6'5", 240, blazing speed. Came in the league, dominated the league, and then left the league. And like I was talking about earlier with Del Schaffner, you know, Calvin Johnson didn't play for a very long time, but he made his mark. He made six Pro Bowls to Del Schaffner's five. Three All-Pros to Del Schaffner's five. So when I looked at Calvin Johnson's peak seasons, 2008 to 2013, he was top five in catches twice, top five in receiving yards four times, and top five in touchdowns four times. It's pretty good. I looked at Del Schaffner. He was top five in catches four times, so beats Calvin there 4-2. He was top five in receiving yards five times. That beats Calvin Johnson's four. And then he was top five in touchdown catches four times. That is the same as Calvin Johnson. But what I'm saying there is, against his contemporaries, Del Schaffner's, now numbers-wise, Calvin's blows him out of the water, different times. But against his contemporaries, Del was more dominant during his time period than Calvin Johnson was. He had five All-Pro teams to Calvin Johnson three. Now, Calvin Johnson beats him across the board quite a bit in all-time catches, receiving yards, touchdowns, because he was consistently great across his career. Just his peak, wasn't as high as a peak as Dell's. But Calvin Johnson, no problem getting in the Hall of Fame. And if you look at Calvin Johnson's career numbers, they're behind a lot of the recent Hall of Fame receivers that you should be comparing him to. But they're like, well, his peak was so high, he's in. That's where I get a little confused about Del Schaffner. His peak, I was looking at players from that time period, wide receivers, like, were they getting disrespected in terms of, you know, being in the Hall of Fame because their numbers are lower? And not really at all. And I'll get to that in court. But let's just say during his time, I would say Del Schaffner was above his peers more than Calvin Johnson was above his peers during his time period. They were also both kind of physical freaks for their time. Again, Del Schaffner is 6'3", 186 in the late 50s and 60s. That's a lot taller than most players, and he was one of the fastest players in time. Kind of like Calvin Johnson comes in at 6'5", 240, so you add another 50 pounds onto Del. And I'm going to guess Calvin Johnson's speed was a lot faster than Dell, but Dell was still one of the burners of his time. And Calvin Johnson was never, again, different times, but never really approaching the yards per catch, you know, that Dell had kind of during these peak seasons. I think Calvin had his best season was 17.8 yards per catch, which is not even Dell's average for his career. So again, completely different times, but just in talking about dominating for a certain time period, Calvin Johnson, Del Schaffner, very similar kind of careers in that grand sense. Other players I wanted to throw him against were people that played around his time period. They kind of played right around his time, right after he was kind of near the end of his career when he was retiring, so a little after him. But that's Bob Warfield, who of course played for the Dolphins, and Bob Hayes, who played for the Cowboys. These were both burners. I believe Bob Hayes is actually Olympian. But these are guys who actually had even more yards per catch. Warfield was 20.1 yards per catch for his career. Bob Hayes was 20 yards per catch for his career. So these were these guys who would just catch bombs and get to the end zone. There's a lot of these guys back in the 50s, 60s, 70s that would have these very high yards per catch totals. Both these guys got in the Hall of Fame. Bob Warfield was an 8-time Pro Bowler, 2-time All-Pro. Bob Hayes was a 3-time Pro Bowler, 2-time All-Pro. So all pros, you know, Dell kills these guys. Pro Bowls, what, more than Bob Hayes, less than Warfield. And then career numbers. This is where I think it's an interesting case that these guys are in, and Schaffner's maybe on the outside looking in. Catches-wise, again, I'll tell Dell's numbers off the bat. 349 catches, 6,740 yards, 51 touchdowns, okay? Bob Warfield, 427 catches, 8,565 yards receiving, and 85 touchdowns. So all higher, but in the same ballpark. And then Bob Hayes, 371 catches. So just 22 catches more. It's called math. 7,414 receiving yards more. So that's under, 600 yards more. And then 71 touchdowns. So 20 touchdowns more. These numbers are all extremely in the ballpark of Schaffner. And neither of these guys dominated their air as much as Schaffner did. However, they had championships. Warfield won 2 Super Bowls, I believe, with the Dolphins. Bob Hayes won one with the Cowboys. Again, Schaffner went to 3 title games, never won the championship, and never really performed that well in those games. That could be the big difference between them. Just the spotlight's not them as much. But I have trouble looking at Bob Hayes and Bob Warfield. Warfield got in the Hall of Fame almost immediately in 1983. Bob Hayes had to wait a long time until 2009. But it is surprising, those guys got in so quickly. And you know, I haven't mentioned this actually. Dell never was even a finalist. So it's very interesting. And I'm sorry, I think I just said Bob Warfield Paul Warfield. I think I was just looking at Bob Hayes. But anyway, 2 burners there. Same kind of style as Dell Schaffner. Career numbers, very similar. Accolades, Schaffner has the edge. Obviously, he's on the outside looking in. But I don't think I could. I mean, Calvin Johnson's a better player than Dell Schaffner, I'm going to say. Paul Warfield and Bob Hayes, though, I think they're very, very similar players. And I want to say, and again, I don't know this for a fact, but I'm going to go on a limb and say that maybe back when the people were voting, right after Schaffner retired in the 70s, 80s, people really looked at career numbers more. Paul and Bob's were better. I don't know. It's hard. So it's an unanswerable question, but I feel like these guys are extremely similar players, but Dell's been overlooked. So final segment here, call this court.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth.
You can't handle the truth.
And for court, of course, this is where we talk about, you know, the pros for Dell and the cons for Dell. And I've gone through this throughout the podcast, but I want to make kind of a more significant point around these all-pro teams. And if you listen to this podcast before, you know, I take a lot of stock in all-pro teams. To me, it's in like basketball, it's like an all-NBA team. And I take extremely high stock in all-NBA teams, but it means you're one of the best at your position during your time. I think it's all-star teams can kind of be popularity contests at times. All-pro teams is more, I guess, significant to me. And all-pro first teams in the NFL means you're at wide receiver, one of the, you know, 2 best wide receivers at the time. He made 5 all-pro first teams. So there's only been 4 receivers, including him, in NFL history with 5 all-pro first teams or more. And that's Jerry Rice, of course, with 10, Lance Allworth with 6, Terrell Owens with 5, and then Dell Schaffner with 5. That's the 4 with 5 or more. Rice, Allworth, Owens, and Schaffner. Randy Moss, you might have thought was going to be up there. No, he had 4. Raymond Berry, who I think is the best receiver from the 50s and 60s. 3, Calvin Johnson. 3, people like Chris Carter. 2, Michael Irvin. 1. So 5 all-pro teams is extremely significant in terms of wide receivers. Only 3 people above, and again, all these people are Hall of Famers I'm naming. And he is 5. There's only 3 other people with 5 or more. I think that, out of anything, would be my elevator speech and why he should be in the Hall of Fame. If you look at every position out there, again, all pros, how important they are, only 4 players other than Dell Schaffner today have 5 or more all pro selections and are not in the Hall of Fame today. So those are all players I'm going to have to do this podcast for, because I think if you have 5 all pro teams, you at least deserve to be in the discussion for the Football Hall of Fame. Outside of that, he was also voted to the Pro Football Hall of Fame All-1960s team. He is the only eligible wide receiver for the Hall of Fame that's made a first All-1960s Hall of Fame team and has not been the Hall of Fame. The last one that was kind of waiting was Drew Pearson, who just got in, who was part of the All-1970s first team. But again, this is something the Hall of Fame votes on. The Hall of Fame, the thing we're talking about, should he be in? They vote on the team of the best players of the decade, their Hall of Fame team. He was on the first team. He's not in. The other wide receiver who's on the first team, he is in. All the other 1970s all-decade team, 1980s, 90s, they're all in the Hall of Fame. And I'm sure the ones who were selected in the 2000s, 2010s will get in the Hall of Fame when they're eligible. So he's a part of the first team all Hall of Fame team, selected by the Hall of Fame voters, but can't get in the Hall of Fame. 5 all pro teams, only 3 other wide receivers have done that, all in the Hall of Fame. I was talking about this earlier. I want to mention this too. I was talking about like the players from that time period, because I think one of the things that could hurt him was 50s, 60s, 40s. Wide receivers weren't as, bona fide superstars because people weren't throwing the ball that much. It was running backs. Running backs were everything. Quarterbacks, ran the ball a lot, kind of managed the game. So they were popular. But wide receivers were kind of, maybe not looked at in as high a light as they are today. Now they're superstars. 8 players that played during the 8 other wide receivers from the time of Dell Schaffner are in the Hall of Fame today already. Raymond Berry, who I mentioned already, Lance Allworth, who I mentioned already, Bob Hayes, who I mentioned already, Tommy McDonald, Bobby Mitchell, Dan Maynard, Charlie Taylor, who along with Dell was on that all 1960s team, and then Paul Warfield. Out of all those guys, like Barry, 3 all-pro teams, Allworth, 6 all-pro teams, Bob Hayes, 2, Tommy McDonald, 0, Bobby Mitchell, 1, Don Maynard, 1, Charlie Taylor, 1, Paul Warfield, 2. Again, none of them were considered the top 2 receivers anywhere close to Dell, except Lance Allworth, who had 6 and is one of the all-time greats. Tommy McDonald was never considered it once. Then Pro Bowls, even, Bobby Mitchell, 4, that's below Dell. Don Maynard, 4, that's below Dell. Bob Hayes, 3, that's below Dell. Like, Raymond Berry only had 6. I'm surprised about that. Among his contemporaries, he is making the all-star team, which I said it could be popularity counts as fine, but he's making that more. But all pros, only Lance Allworth is above him. All the other guys are below him, and they're all in the Hall of Fame. Again, all of them have better career numbers, more catches, more receiving yards, more touchdowns. However, as I said earlier, when he retired, he was in top receiving, most receiving yards and most receiving, and most catches. So most catches and most receiving yards when he retired. All these guys passed him. But at the time when he retired, he was the top. I think that gets lost, and I don't know. I don't think it should be. I think when you retired should matter. When you left the game, you left your mark on it. Now, before I get to case against, because there's things against him, which is probably why he's not in the Hall of Fame. Obviously, I didn't have a guest on today, so I couldn't talk to someone about, you know, what they thought of when he played. I mean, I didn't see him play. I can watch YouTube clips, and there's YouTube clips from the 50s and 60s, and I can see him, but it looks like a different game. So I kind of tried to find two quotes from players that play in the league to kind of supplement this instead of, you know, having a guest on that actually saw him firsthand or got to travel and know the players in firsthand. So I have two. One's from a Hall of Famer, one's from a guy named Claude. So that's a Hall of Fame name. So two Hall of Famers, I would say. First one's from the Giants middle linebacker Hall of Famer, Sam Huff. Said, "We called him Slimmer Blade. And when I think of him, I think of Clint Eastwood." It's a Hall of Fame actor. Good start. "He was lean and mean out on the field, great speed and better moves with legs strong enough to break tackles and leap into the air." Pretty straightforward, but it's a good quote. Okay, Claude Crabb was a Washington defensive back. So he was one of the backs that maybe got burnt when he had that record-setting game in 62. Claude Crabb once said, "If he had a pattern of any kind, it's his weaving motion. It drives you crazy watching him dip and dip out as he moves downfield. He's so fast that if you make the wrong move, you can't recover." So again, could Dell beat Tyreek Hill in a race today? God, no. He'd probably be embarrassed out of his mind. But for his time, was he one of the fastest players in the league at 6'3" and able to go up, grab balls, burn past defensive backs? Yes. Yes, yes, yes. One of the first truly great playmakers in NFL history. And honestly, I want to compare him to DeSean Jackson earlier because I always think of him as that kind of long, like that burner. But Dell Joffner is a much better player than a DeSean Jackson. I think my other comps of a Paul Warfield, a Bob Hayes, a Calvin Johnson, those are most closer than a DeSean Jackson, but he was a game breaker. So for the case against, I mentioned all this stuff, right? Short career. He had those five great seasons. Besides that, nothing was going on. Like, if you look at, and again, I encourage everyone, if you like, I'm very fascinated by 19 pre Super Bowl football, but like 50s, 60s, it was just a different time. But if you want to go back and watch clips of him, I encourage you to. But like, again, his short career, he had those five great seasons, and that's it. You know, first year in the league, he played 12 games, had no catches. He was more of a defensive back. Then in 1958, he had a 1,000-yard season, actually led the league in receiving. Next year, he had just under 1,000 yards, 936. 1960, he kind of gets injured, and then he rattles off three straight 1,000-yard seasons, and then he never gets over 400 yards again, and that's it. 323 yards per game in 64, or I'm sorry, 323 yards in a game or in a season in 1964, 388 yards in the season in 65, 19 yards in the season in 66, 146 yards total in 67. He's out of the league. So in the last two seasons, he had less yards than he did in that one game. So just take it out with that. So he had five great seasons. He's out. That's obviously going to hurt him. There wasn't much time to get to know who he was. Again, NFL is seen today. So it's like, if you didn't hear of this guy in those years, it wasn't like fancy football where you're like, oh, those five great years. Like if you're not a Rams fan or a Giants fan, you might not remember who he is. All time number. So again, I made a point when he retired where he was in the rankings. I think that still matters. But in terms of him getting in the Hall of Fame today, I mean, it's not great if people can't appreciate who he played against and his contemporaries and what they were doing, but he's not even in the top 250 for career catches anymore. He's 183rd in career receiving yards, 123rd in career receiving touchdowns. So again, he's not even in the top 120 for any of those main categories. He is in the top 20 for yards per catch. That's the only thing he's still in. He's 20th in NFL history, but other than that, you know, he's way behind everyone else. I will say one more time, like, just so everyone can understand, like, he was the first Giants player ever to gain 1,000 yards in a season. Okay. So he's the first ever. He had 4,000 yards yard receiving seasons in his career. No one had four for like the 20 years, like after he kind of retired. The first people that got four were like Steve Largent and Charlie Joyner, who were in the 80s. So it took that long to have someone with four 1,000 yard receiving yards. So again, context, but I'm on the bad stuff. So let me stay there, but just want to put in context, but having those numbers, having younger and younger voters, Dallas Schaffner is going to continue to get lost more and more and more. I mean, he's going to continue to go down these lists. I mean, players can get the amount of catches he had in under four seasons now. 349 catches is nothing. 6,740 yards receiving is nothing. 51 touchdowns is nothing in today's game. And if people forget the history or don't look back at history, he's going to be lost. Again, he never won a title. If he won a title, is he a bigger name? Maybe. If he had a huge game in the title games, do we remember? Maybe. But Dallas Schaffner is getting lost in history, and it'll only get worse and worse over time. The fact he's never been a finalist before is a little alarming. And I don't know what's going to bring him back to life other than some sort of grassroots effort or anniversary of some of those Giants teams that made the championships. But I think he's just going to continue to get more lost and lost as history goes on. I mean, he was a guy who played two ways. He was punting. Like, it's just those players, the players I feel like that the Hall of Fame dot should be in by now are in, and it's going to be hard for him to climb that mountain. So final verdict here. Do I think Dell Schaffner should be in the Hall of Fame? If you haven't heard it by now, I 100% think Dell needs to be in the Hall of Fame. I think being selected as one of the top two wide receivers of the decade in the 1960s should be enough, as every other player that's ever been elected the first team for a wide receiver for those decade teams has been in. I think five all pros should get you almost automatically in the Hall of Fame. I feel like that's like 3,000 hits in baseball, minus, you know, steroid users. But I do think it's like that. Being the very best or second best at your position at wide receiver for five different years is good enough to me to be in the hall or football Hall of Fame, especially with how short some NFL players' hall or careers are, and they're still in the Hall of Fame. I think that's plenty enough. He dominated when he played. He was one of the pioneers of the long ball in terms of catching bombs and running them in to the end zone, or just, you know, coming up with giant plays downfield. Probably one of the most exciting wide receivers of the first, you know, 40, 50 years of the league. I think that means something. I think the Football Hall of Fame is a museum. I think it's missing him in it. Do I think he'll ever get in? I don't. I think if he was to get in, he would have been in already. He retired in 1967. That's over 50 years ago. I do feel like most players from that era, they've figured out a way to get them in by now. There's a very long line for the Veterans Committee, as you all hear me talk about all the time. I just don't see him bypassing a bunch of other people that have been forgotten that have played more recently with television, have played when sports writers that are voting are actually around. I mean, I doubt any of the voters today were around when Schaffner was playing. If so, a few, and they were probably children when he was playing. As the years go by, less and less people will be alive that have even seen him play, and then it will just be word of mouth like this podcast. So I think he should be in, but I do not think he will ever get in. I hope that's not the case. If I didn't want to say this earlier, but if you ever saw Dell Schaffner play, please email me or tweet at me. Let me know. I'm just curious. And if you have any stories about watching him play, what you thought of him, who he compares to today, please let me know. Because again, I had trouble finding anyone to come on and talk to me about him, just because there was a big knowledge gap there. And my information's all off YouTube and reading articles about him and learning about him, because he's a player I didn't even know who he was until just a few years ago myself. So that's today's podcast. Thank you all for sticking with me for that history lesson. If you don't already, follow us on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. Leave us a rating. We'd appreciate it. Follow us on Twitter at Pod of Fame or on Instagram at Pod of Fame. And we will talk to you next Monday. Thanks. And the world